Unless you're watching TV shows about people in the 1960s, you probably don't see a lot of people smoking anymore. The percentage of Americans who smoke on a regular basis is down in the 16% range. The figure in Oregon is pretty close to that, but the state got a failing grade in the annual State of Tobacco Control Report from the American Lung Association. All states got a grade. California got a B overall. So why does Oregon get a C me from the teacher? Let's get into the individual grades with Carrie Neeson, who's the Senior Director of Advocacy at the American Lung Association in Oregon. Thanks for joining us today, Carrie.
Absolutely. It's great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
So am I right about those numbers? I just checked recently, but it looks like Oregon right around that 16% range of people who still smoke?
That's correct. That's correct. And the one thing that's a little bit misleading about the percentage is we still have a large number of people who do smoke. And I don't know about you, Jeff, but I have lost several loved ones to tobacco use. You know, my dad began smoking when he was in the Army and became addicted and smoked for decades. And I had a teenage nephew who struggled with tobacco addiction and thankfully was able to quit. So it's still out there. We still have way too many people smoking, and it's still the number one cause of preventable death in our nation and in Oregon.
It's interesting to see how different the societal attitudes about smoking are. You mentioned your father in the military, and it jogged a memory that I ran across my father's Navy tobacco ration card a couple of years ago. So, I mean, they actually gave cigarettes to soldiers and sailors back in the day, and that was a different world.
It certainly was. So we have made progress, and we need to keep moving in the right direction. And this report actually gives a blueprint or a map to how we can further reduce tobacco consumption in our states.
So you basically give five subgrades and then an overall grade. And Oregon got an F, and let me go through these. So an F for tobacco prevention and cessation funding, an A actually for smoke-free air, which is going to surprise people who live near forests, but we'll get to that in a moment, an F for tobacco taxes, a D for access to cessation services, but an A in the tobacco 21 area. Why don't we go from the good ones first? A for smoke-free air and tobacco 21, what do those components represent?
And smoke-free air refers to indoor air. So it takes a look at the state policy and how it protects or doesn't protect employees from secondhand smoke in workplaces and also in public places. So we're so lucky in Oregon and California as well to have a comprehensive state law that does protect our lungs from secondhand smoke. We do have some challenges that come up every year. There's individuals who want to see, you know, smoking allowed in places where it's currently prohibited. So that's one thing that we're always looking to protect. And that also helps with that norm that you talked about. When kids and the public don't see people smoking, a non-smoking environment becomes the norm. So that's why that particular grade is so vital and so important.
That's the one I should point out that California got an A on as well. California got Bs on the rest of these, but again, we're talking about Oregon, a very mixed report card here. Tobacco 21 is the other place where Oregon got an A, Carrie. What is Tobacco 21?
And Tobacco 21 is when states or local municipalities choose to raise the legal age to purchase tobacco products to 21. And this category is a relatively new one on our state report card because we've just recently had evidence that raising that age does impact youth consumption. And it's so important that our youth never start smoking because that's the one way that we can move and have a dream of our first tobacco-free generation. Youth are particularly sensitive to becoming addicted to nicotine, and anything that they put into their lungs can actually prohibit their lungs from developing into healthy adult lungs. So it's really important that we do everything that we can to keep our youth from ever starting to use tobacco products. And this is a policy that works towards that end.
Carrie, you talk about a tobacco-free generation, and I remember, I'm old enough to remember when there were cigarette ads on TV and radio. That stopped around 1971. Did you think you might have had a tobacco-free generation before now?
Well, I certainly dreamed about that. And one of the challenges that we have, Jeff, is we keep seeing new, innovative products out there that attract youth. I don't know if you have seen anyone who's used a Juul product.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the newer products out there that is extremely popular with youth now. And it's one of the categories that one would call electronic smoking devices. And this is a device that if if your child or grandchild was doing homework and they had a notebook and a pencil there and they had this Juul product, you wouldn't even recognize that as a tobacco product because it looks exactly like a USB thumb drive. Kids are using these everywhere. It's really an epidemic.
Okay, let's come back to vaping in just a little bit as we continue the discussion with Carrie Neeson, who's the Senior Director of Advocacy at the American Lung Association in Oregon. We're talking about the State of Tobacco Control 2019 report, which is subtitled, "The Failure by Government Officials to Act Jeopardizes Lives and Lung Health." Oregon got an F in across the five categories. That's the overall grade. There are five subcategories. California got a B, which includes four Bs and an A. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Talk about tobacco cessation programs, whether you might have been a smoker once and quit and what it took to do that, or whether you're a smoker now and wish people would just leave you alone. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Listen, we got to two of the categories now, smoke-free air and tobacco 21. Those are where Oregon got A's. We go to the next best grade, which is a D for access to cessation services. What does that mean?
This is a grade that takes a look at the access that Oregonians have to quit smoking and how comprehensive those benefits are. This is probably the most complicated methodology that we have on this report. It takes a look at if all seven FDA-approved medications to quit smoking are provided. It takes a look to see if all three methods of counseling are there. And it also takes a look at the state quit line investment that states make. And that's the one area where Oregon, if they chose to invest more in their state quit line, this grade would raise considerably.
And this is a toll-free number to call to get some help with smoking cessation?
It is, yes.
And where do people get directed when they call that?
They will go to to health professionals and therapists and cessation specialists that can help folks with tips and tools to quit smoking. And sometimes nicotine replacement devices are also available.
Now, it's interesting, as you mentioned, the seven types of medications and the three forms of counseling. So this is a regimented program. It seems this is not like somebody has to come up with something new to be able to help somebody get off of cigarettes. There are lots of options out there available. It sounds like large that could be well-tailored to each individual.
Absolutely. And we know most people, it takes seven or eight attempts to quit smoking. Nicotine is a very addictive substance, and it's hard to kick the habit. So we believe that people should have all of the resources available to them and be able to make as many quit attempts as they want through their lifetime until they're able to kick their habit, because we do know that the majority of smokers do want to quit smoking. So it's important that when they're ready, that they have access to all of the different ways to do that.
Now, Carrie, I know you're with the American Lung Association in Oregon. Are you aware of any state that got straight A's? I'm just wondering, just in relative terms.
In this year's report, no one got straight A's.
Ah, okay.
The states that did the best in our region are California, probably got the best overall grade, and Hawaii and Alaska also were among the top grade earners in this year's report.
Let me do a little side-by-side comparison for our listeners. So California got an A in smoke-free air and then a B in tobacco prevention and cessation funding, B for tobacco taxes, B for access to cessation services, and B for tobacco 21. Same list for Oregon goes F, A, F, D, A. So let's talk about those Fs now. Tobacco prevention and cessation funding. And then tobacco taxes and F, too. It seems like these would go hand in hand. If you're going to charge more in taxes, you're probably going to spend more on the cessation programs, aren't you?
Boy, absolutely. So let's start with tobacco taxes, if I may. Oregon has a real opportunity to reduce consumption by increasing tobacco taxes. The state average tax in our nation is $1.79. Oregon sits at $1.33 and ranks 32nd in the nation. And raising tobacco taxes is really one of the best tools that we have in our toolkit, because we know if we have a significant increase in tobacco taxes, we're going to reduce overall consumption, and it especially youth are price sensitive, so we're going to see a reduction in youth consumption and potentially maybe prevent youth from ever starting to smoke.
All right. So when you're ranked 32nd, I did notice that Oregon's governor, as of yesterday, talks about wanting to increase cigarette taxes by $2 a pack. Would this jump Oregon into the A range?
That I would have to do some figuring on, but it would certainly have an impact, absolutely.
All right, so if the national average is 179, Oregon at 133 now, that would take it up to 333 a pack. We're talking an increase of 10 cents per each cigarette. So that would go a long way, it seems like, in bringing Oregon out of that low ranking.
Oh, absolutely. And we also look at tobacco tax increases as a triple win. That bump in the price will reduce overall consumption. It also can provide money to those tobacco prevention programs, as you mentioned. They can go hand in hand if we provide money from the revenue of the tax increase to support prevention activities. And it also can provide revenues for other health programs in states.
Is it usually a straight pass-through like that, Carrie, though, that the taxes that are collected on cigarettes go to programs to help people who are either smoking now or want to quit?
Sadly, that's not the case.
Really?
You know, states receive millions and millions of dollars, not only from tobacco taxes, but also from money from the tobacco companies, from the Master Settlement Agreement. And as time has gone, more and more of those dollars have been sucked into the general funds that states have and aren't helping smokers quit and aren't funding prevention programs. And that's really something that we're seeing across the nation.
We're talking about cigarette smoking or tobacco consumption in general, the smoking kind, in Oregon and elsewhere. Oregon, in the recent State of Tobacco Control report, got an F, where California got a B. A couple of places where Oregon is really flagging behind, as you've heard from Carrie Neeson, who's the Senior Director of Advocacy for the American Lung Association in Oregon. You're welcome to join our conversation at 800-838-3760 over the phone or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a phone call from Bill in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. Every time I walk in a store and it says you can't smoke within like 20 feet of the entrance, I'm so proud of Oregon. And and when you go out to a bar, you can't smoke in a bar. You see these guys freezing their ass outside smoking. I'm so proud of that. And I have to admit, I have invested interest. I passed petitions around San Francisco, Golden Gate Park, and then I came up here and helped pass the law for no smoking in the workplace here. But I think we ought to raise it to $2.50 a pack.
$2.50 back. Okay, we're looking at $3.33 based on what Governor Brown wants. So it looks like you might get your wish.
No, I added another $2.50 to the tax we have now.
Uh huh. Okay.
So that would put us at what?
Oh, that would put us way up there, like $3.83 or something. Yeah.
Well, go to $4. Make it even.
Okay. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. Thoughts from you, Carrie?
I can't disagree. I don't know how politically viable that increase would be, but as we know, the more expensive we make them, the better reduction in consumption that we see. I will say that the Washington D.C. currently has the highest tax at $4.50. So we wouldn't be the highest, but we certainly would make considerable progress from where we are now.
Let's talk a bit about the politics and the money involved in there. And before we even get there, I want to back up and ask you about the Master Settlement Agreement. I think people have heard about this before, but can you fill us in on what that did?
You bet. That was a settlement back in 1998. And many of the states sued the tobacco industry for the health harms that their product was causing in their states. Tobacco is the only product that I can think of that, when used as intended, causes health harms and death. So states were having to pay a lot of money for all of the health harms caused by cigarettes. So that was a time when states came together and sued the tobacco companies. So as a result of that was a settlement called the Master Settlement Agreement. And that's an agreement where tobacco companies or the tobacco companies involved in that suit agreed to pay states for the health harms that their product was causing.
And the assumption was that the money would go into smoking cessation programs. But you're saying in some cases that money, because it is a large chunk of money, is being diverted into general fund programs?
It is. We have seen that in state after state.
All right, let's take another call. We have Heidi in Medford on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about smoking cessation with Carrie Neeson from the American Lung Association.
I would suggest that we have an ad with some smoking smokers' teeth, because the damage that smoke does to the teeth is something nobody ever talks about. I used to smoke and quit 42 years ago. I still have problems with my teeth. You can look at people that smoke and see their gums receding. They get loose teeth. They get all kinds of terrible diseases there. And if you showed a picture with the vanity of the young people and their white teeth, it would probably have an effect.
Okay, focus on teeth. Thanks for that, Heidi. I appreciate that. And has this approach been taken before, Carrie?
There has been a truth campaign who has had ads from former smokers and has showed some of the disfigurement and some of the challenges that have happened. And Heidi, that's a great idea. Those are very graphic pictures and graphic ads that have been used. So thank you for that thought, and congratulations on being able to kick the habit.
Yeah, 42 years ago. Congratulations on that, Heidi. You know, they talk about the graphic ads, though, because there have been public service announcements out there running in Oregon that show people, for example, with missing jaws from, that's actually from the other kind of tobacco use, the dip kind of tobacco, but the people who smoking through their tracheotomy holes and things like that. I mean, there's enough out there to let people know that horrible things can happen to you when you smoke, and yet people still do it.
And that I don't have an answer for. I'm not a psychologist. It's hard for me to understand why people still choose to pick up that first cigarette. But I know that once they do, some people are addicted so quickly that it's very difficult for them to start. And one thing that we do fight when it comes to tobacco industry is the marketing that they're able to do. The annual tobacco industry marketing in Oregon is $9.5 billion. And when you contrast that number with the number that we're putting into tobacco prevention, $115.7 million, it just we can't compete against that marketing. So it's very, very challenging.
Were you saying $9.5 billion spent just in Oregon to promote tobacco?
Correct.
Wow.
That's nationwide.
That's a national figure. Okay.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about that.
All right, that does make a little more sense. All right, so that raises the question I was shooting for before about the kind of back pressure you get on this from the tobacco industry, because not just in advertising, but I imagine there's some lobbying stuff that goes on as well, because I know that Oregon's governor has been talking about wanting to raise cigarette taxes for years, and there was supposed to be a ballot measure last November, and it didn't make it to the ballot to raise cigarette taxes. So you do get some people pushing back against the cigarette taxes, and it's not just the people who would pay them.
Well, and it's not just the people, it's the industry as well. I worked on an initiative in Montana this year, and the tobacco industry just came in and poured millions into that campaign. And ads don't always have to be 100% truthful. They're able to use tactics that are somewhat questionable. And it's easy to put doubt in voters' minds. And so the initiative process can be very challenging. And, Jeff, I just really want to go back and correct what the marketing numbers that I had.
Okay.
The $9.5 billion was nationwide, and the $115.7 million was the Oregon marketing number from the tobacco industry.
Oh, okay. That's the marketing number, not the cessation number. Okay.
Yeah, so I apologize for
that. No, that's good to know. Thank you so much for clearing that up before we finished up the broadcast. Got a couple minutes left, though, and I do want to spend that time talking about the rise of electronic cigarettes, the vaping devices, the Juuls, and the like. And the fact is, when you continue to have the downward pressure on people smoking cigarettes, then you got this other avenue you need to deal with. And has the American Lung Association successfully made a shift to address the electronic smoking products?
Well, we are certainly working on that. It's horrifying to us because we are seeing a reduction in youth consumption of the combustible traditional cigarettes. But according to the CDC, the use of e-cigarettes among high school students increased 78% from 2017 to 2018. So this is really alarming. It's an epidemic. The FDA is taking a look at this. It's just horrifying that we're potentially are addicting a whole nother generation to a whole nother product and to nicotine. And kids and parents alike often don't realize that there is nicotine in many of these products. And unlike the traditional cigarettes, well, I never came home at night after smoking cigarettes, but I know some friends who did, and their parents could tell they were smoking because of the smell that was on their clothing. These devices, the Juul product that I talked about earlier, they smell sweet and good, and that's one of the things that attracts kids to them. They have flavors like Captain Crunch, berry, you know, lemon lime, so they're very attractive scents. And it's hard to tell when they're being used. Talking to school educators, kids are using them sometimes in the classroom, but oftentimes they'll go to the restroom to have a couple of hits before they come back to class.
Now, and also, does marijuana and its legalization provide any pressure on what you're doing, too? Because particularly in where people smoke, it seems like even people who wouldn't consider picking up a cigarette might consider picking up a joint.
And I don't have any data on that, but it is a concern for us. We know that anyone who's exposed to any kind of smoke, whether it's from a cigarette or from marijuana or from wood fire, wildfire smoke, that's going to cause harm in your lungs.
All right. The report, again, is called State of Tobacco Control 2019. The failure by government officials to act jeopardizes lives and lung health. That's from the American Lung Association. California got a B in the five subgrades. It went B-A-A-B-B, B-A-B-B-B, as if you could tell them. Oregon got an F overall because of the two Fs in tobacco prevention and cessation funding and in tobacco taxes. And so, again, an overall grade of F. And we heard why now from Carrie Neeson, who's the Senior Director of Advocacy for the American Lung Association in Oregon. Carrie, thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.